Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Friday, November 20th, 2015. And with me today, I have, for the first time, Peter Cohen. How are you doing, Peter?
I'm doing great, Jeff. How you doing?
I'm doing great. It's awesome that you're here. And for our listeners that don't know it yet, Peter has started doing some writing for us, which is totally fantastic. I'm really glad that you're here and that you're writing for us. That rocks.
You know, I realized about 6 months ago that the only publication I think the only publication of note that I had not written for that had the word Mac in its title was the Mac Observer. So when I found out that there was an opportunity to contribute some of my content, I could not say no.
And now you can scratch that off your bucket list.
I can scratch it off my bucket list. And here's to a long and fruitful partnership, my friend.
I am looking forward to it.
I am raising my glass of – or my mug of Earl Grey tea.
I'm raising my Nalgene bottle of water.
There you go.
Yeah. How
about you, John? Are you raising anything?
Just my bottle of smart water.
There we go.
And good morning, Jeff.
Now we know why you can just talk circles around us. You're drinking smart water.
Yeah. How about that?
John, it's great to have you here too. And I think it's awesome that we have had such a long and fruitful relationship.
Yeah, I'm starting my 10th year with a Mac Observer in early December. That's amazing.
Mazel tov.
And Peter, welcome. Awesome. Welcome to the show. Welcome to the Mac Observer.
Thank you very much, John. I'm very excited today because this is the first time that I think John and I have ever been on a podcast together. So expect the magic to happen, people.
It's the sparkles and glitter flying already. So we should probably talk about some other stuff too, as long as we're here. And Peter, I thought it would be great to start off with a piece you wrote earlier this week.
Yeah.
And I thought we could just kind of dive into that. So for everyone that's catching up, Peter wrote a piece earlier this week where he talked about the whole thing about iOS and OS 10 converging because, you know, people are kind of freaking out that this is happening again. And Tim Cook keeps saying no. And Peter, you're saying no, and I agree with you. And you came and you had an interesting idea about what you think is really happening here. And so I thought we should talk about that.
Talk about what's really going on behind the scenes.
Yes.
Well, you know, it's an interesting time, isn't it? You know, the for those of us who have been around the Apple ecosystem for as long as we have, and for me that's 30 years, we've seen lots of evolution. We've seen lots of changes in the way that things are. You know, up until about 2007, the Mac was the star of the Apple product stage. You know, the iPod was certainly selling a lot, but the Mac was the star. And then it was eclipsed almost immediately by the iPhone and the iPad. And I think that we Mac users have had kind of a chip on our shoulder ever since then. You know, as far as I'm concerned, the entire issue with convergence, the idea that there's going to be a singularity where your OS X devices and your iOS devices are going to operate the same way, with all the same limitations, structural limitations, with all the same stuff. That it's just not really a viable way to do it. The Mac is not going to become an iPad anytime soon. It's not something that we really have to worry about. And the reason why I say this is because Tim Cook said this. Tim Cook, in a recent interview over at The Independent, said that he's basically convinced that customers are not looking for a converged Mac and a converged iPad. And because of what Apple would end up doing, that's what they're worried would happen. It's that neither experience on the Mac or the iPad in a converged environment would be as good as what the customer wants. The interesting thing about what Cook said, though, is that he's not disputing that customers want it. And I know this firsthand because I work in an Apple reseller. I work and I sell people iPads and Macs. So their main interest in talking to me is, why should I get a Mac and why should I get an iPad? Like, or if I have a Mac, why shouldn't I replace it with an iPad? Is becoming the more frequent question now. And you know, for a lot of those people, an iPad is exactly the right device to have.
Sure.
It's exactly the right device to have. But there's also a very significant group of people that go the other way, where it's like, I want my iPad to work this way, but it doesn't, so I stick with a laptop.
And that makes sense. I mean, there are different ways that people work with their files and different ways people communicate. And Apple has created devices where you don't have one that does it all the same way.
Peter, you use the word singularity. I love it. But you know what happens when you inch towards a singularity? You end up going down a black hole.
Yeah. Well, there is a black hole to go down, but I think it's a good one because you end up in down the reality of seamless workflow, and I think that that's the direction that Apple is going in.
Yeah, and when you started talking about seamless workflow in your piece, I was like, yeah, it all makes sense. That's what it's about. If we can work with our files wherever we want, however we want, then it's not about converging operating systems. It's about giving us an easy way just to work with information.
Yeah, but what I worry about is that Apple's vision of workflow is different than my vision of the workflow, and that there's going to be pain.
Now, Jeff, you know I've got a big old man crush on Johnny Ive.
Mm-hmm. And who can blame you?
And who can? I mean, it's the accent, it's the biceps, it's the scruffy look. I just, you know, it's the gestalt. And there are little Johnny Ives isms that sort of hop out at me every once in a while. And one of them was talking about making the user interface invisible, just having it there to do what you need it to do. You know, making the user interface invisible. And I think it's such a smart way to think about the way that iOS and OS X integrate with one another. You know, Apple has managed to make those transitionary moments between those operating systems much less painful than they used to be. Now, the technology did not get off to a very rocky start last year, when handoff was introduced in OS X Yosemite. Let's face facts. You know,
it kind of hurt.
Yeah, it kind of hurt. It took a while for us to get there, didn't it? Didn't it, John?
Yeah, and it's still not working completely right.
And 10.10.4 was where things really kind of straightened out, right? Right, guys.
You know, yeah, I think you're right. By the time we hit 10.10.4, it was a much smoother system.
It should have been what 10.10 should have been, really, when it comes down to it. But that's not the iteration that, you know, that Apple did. It was rougher. We're seeing that spectrum smooth out now with iOS 9 and with El Capitan. But I don't see convergence happening.
No, I'm with you, Peter. I don't see convergence happening. The way our Macs are designed and the way our iPads and iPhones are designed, there's fundamental differences in the way we interact with these devices.
You don't even need to get that esoteric. For as long as a Mac is required to develop software for iOS devices, they're going to be Macs.
Yeah, that's a good point. And there's so many developers.
And they're going to operate fundamentally separately.
Right. And there's so many developers who are tied into the culture and the technology of Macs. To force an integration too early would create a lot of pain in the Mac developer community.
You know, I remember years ago when Apple started opening retail stores, they said half the people walking in the door to buy Macs were new to the platform.
And that was impressive.
And that is pretty impressive. And that was before the advent of the dominance of the iPhone and the iPad. You know, but the interesting thing is a lot of people who are coming to the Mac are coming to the Mac informed about the Apple experience from other products. You know, their iPad users or their iPhone users, most of them are iPhone users, and there are a lot of iPad users too.
Right. Yeah. And then after they use those devices long enough, they decide in many cases it's time to try out a Mac.
Right. Exactly. So doesn't the, you know, could, where it makes sense for Apple to make it as invisible as possible for you to be using either iOS or OS X, you know, things like making user interfaces similarly flat.
Mm-hmm.
Making sure that the operating system font, you know, San Francisco looks the same on each device.
Right. Everything should look familiar. Even if there are differences, it should still be familiar.
It should still be familiar. And those are the people that it's being made familiar for. Now, if you've been using Macs for as long as I have, there's, you know, I can see why people would be threatened by that. But look, change is good. Change is good for us all.
I agree. And I think that overall OS X continues to improve and iOS continues to improve. And I'm okay that they borrow features from each other because there are certain things that just work better as a cross-platform feature.
Yeah. I mean, but convergence, that's just a different story entirely. It doesn't need to happen. OS X is a cursor-driven interface. iOS is a touch-driven interface that requires a very different mindset about the way that you interact with your apps and indeed what your apps can do and what your entire system can do. And Cook has articulated this more than once that Apple understands and respects the difference. So I'm not worried about what they're saying. And I'm just interested to see how they integrate them because that's clearly a very important part of their strategy.
Yes, it is. And I have a lot of integration that comes from Apple, a lot that's coming from other companies because Apple doesn't have it all perfect. And what I'm curious to see is if we will hit a day where I can have a single conduit between my my Macs and my iOS devices for all of my information instead of needing to rely on iCloud and OmniSync server and Dropbox and whatever else I'm using.
Makes perfect sense.
Yeah. So we'll see. And yeah, I'm with you, Peter. This is not a convergence of operating systems. This is a convergence of workflows.
And, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I'm cool with that.
Yes. Because I just want one workflow.
Yes. And you know, that's exactly what I want too. I want to be able to pick up a device and just work. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
All right. Now, the other thing that I wanted to take a look at today before we wrap up, and yes, I'm kind of pimping myself a little bit here. I wrote or actually recorded a review yesterday on Apple Pencil, and check it out so you can see exactly what I think about Apple's new stylus. And I thought maybe we should kind of talk a little bit more about the Apple Pencil and how that's fitting in with our workflows and just the whole Apple ecosystem thing. Anyhow, that I just made that into a giant thing, which it doesn't need to be.
It was a glorious review. This is the best video review I've seen in quite a while. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you. Now, and I didn't bring this up because I was fishing for compliments. So, but thank you. And now, John, I know you are still on the hunt for your Apple Pencil.
Yeah, I was in an Apple store yesterday at the mall, and they had some in the morning, but they were all sold out by the time I got there. So I'm still pencil-less.
Oh, man, that sucks.
It does.
And Peter, have you had an opportunity to use an Apple Pencil yet?
No.
Well, that's probably for the best, I'm thinking. Because if you have used other styluses and you then try an Apple Pencil, you're probably going to be disappointed with every stylus you've used.
Well, we should note that the Apple Pencil only works on the iPad Pro, right?
Yes.
It does not work on your iPad Air.
Right. And we were asked about that earlier in the week, and I talked about why. The short version is there's a different set of sensors in the Apple Pencil and in the iPad Pro that are just for that. So you still have the capacitive touch sensors, which other styluses are using, but you have these other special sensors that are just for Apple Pencil. And those are only in iPad Pro. That's why Apple Pencil doesn't work with any other devices.
And it's surprising that there's such a shortage of the pencils, because you wouldn't think that the iPad Pro would be that big a percentage of the sales. But it seems like the pencils are just hard to get a hold of. I saw an article with Business Insider just a few minutes ago about how they seem to be disappearing from the tables, too.
Oh, some people stores. Are stealing them?
Yeah, and some stores. Yeah, they're kind of disappearing.
That just sucks. I know none of you would steal an Apple Pencil, but remind the other people in your world that might consider to do that. Tell them not to, because that's just really uncool. Stealing's bad, okay?
Maybe those people think it's going to work with their other iPad, or maybe they're thinking, or maybe it's that the iPad Pro is a lot more popular than we thought.
Or maybe it's because demand for pencils is huge. Sell it for $300 on eBay.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah. Well, I was lucky enough to be able to get an Apple Pencil. And I'm loving it. The short version of my review is it's the best stylus I've used to date. And I have run through, I think at this point, about 50 styluses. And most of them have been relegated to a box where I won't even give them away because they're just that disappointing. And then I have a handful that I've been using on a regular basis. And I'm curious to see if I pick any of them up again or if it's just Apple Pencil for me now. Well, actually, I will pick them up again because I still use my iPad Air, and I'll need them for that.
My two favorites are the Bamboo and the LinkTech with the microfiber tip. Those are the go-to styluses with me for years.
I really like the Bamboo. I still carry one around, even though I don't use it hardly ever. I've been a heavy user. My primary stylus up until now has been the Pencil by 53. And then my fallback stylus has been the Adobe Ink.
These have microfiber tips, or are these the rubber nibs?
The Ink is a plastic tip, and the Pencil by 53 is a rubber tip. But they're both pressure sensitive.
Oh, cool.
And that's the big thing for me, is the pressure sensitivity.
Yeah, you're an artist. I'm not. Yeah.
Yeah. And speaking of, I haven't seen other people yet doing reviews of Apple Pencil where you really get to watch one in action. And so that's what I did. I drew a picture while I was doing the review, and you can actually see how it works. I did not experience any latency at all as I was drawing.
How's palm detection?
I'm sorry?
How's palm detection?
Flawless. I mean, seriously, I had no palm rejection issues at all. And it didn't matter what app I was in. It just worked. It was crazy. I have never had a stylus give me 100% perfect palm detection and rejection.
What I thought was interesting in your review was your comment about the nib having just the right amount of friction, because I have some electronic styluses that are battery powered and have a very fine tip. And you can feel the hardness of the tip gliding across the hardness of the glass, and it feels a little artificial. But if, as you described it, if you've got that just that little bit of friction, it feels like lead on paper, which is just what you want.
Yeah, it's not a perfect analog, but it is so much better than anything else I've used. And when I was drawing, by the way, I've never seen myself draw, ever. And when I was watching the video, when I was editing all the pieces together, it was really weird to see that. And just an observation. I don't know if anyone else thinks it's weird to see themselves draw, but I sure did.
Well, I'll pimp it for you, Jeff. Anybody who's interested in an iPad Pro and a pencil should come to the Mac Observer and watch this 8-minute video review. It's amazing. And you'll be hooked.
I know that that I'm hooked. This is my go-to stylus. It cost me $100, and I've already gotten $100 worth of happiness out of it, and I've only had it for a couple of days. So anyhow, check out the review and let me know what you think. And just so everyone knows, I've had a couple comments from people where I'm saying there's no latency, and they look at the video and they say it kind of looks like there is. There's some weird artifacting with the video where the way it recorded, there are points where it kind of looks like there might be latency. Trust me, it is not there. It was flawless, crazy awesome. So, hey, we're out of time. Peter, thank you so much for being here today.
Cool. Thank you very much for having me. I really like talking to you guys.
It's awesome to have you here. John, it's also awesome to have you here.
My pleasure. See you next time.
And listeners, thank you for joining us today. We'll see everyone again next week.